Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody to the 2023 Annual Meeting of the Shareholders of Meridian Energy Group. My name is Frank Kosecko. I'm the Chief Administrative Officer and the Corporate Secretary for the company. Before we get started, over some of the basic ground rules, one is that I've muted everybody who's attending this meeting by Zoom. Although we have a physical meeting going on here in Houston, Texas, I know that a majority of you will be joining by Zoom, so we've muted everybody's microphones. The other thing is that we will be recording this meeting, and we will be posting a copy recording on our website in the next couple of weeks. With that said, I have one more final bit of housekeeping. It's the forward-looking statement, which I will read now. The information in this presentation contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding the future events or the future financial performance of the company. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that these actual events or results may differ. We refer you to the documents of the company that have been made available to you upon request. These documents contain and identify important factors that could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among other things, potential fluctuations in quarterly and annual results, project development, current and future contracts, business and project strategies, rapid technological and market change, acquisition strategy, production risk, volatility of stock price, financial risk, and future growth subject to risks. The company disclaims any duty to update the information presented here today. With that said, we will now proceed with the meeting. You know, as everybody knows, the company sent out notice of this annual meeting shortly after Christmas, and as of today, we've received over 54% of all common votes that are outstanding in the company. So with that, we do have quorum, and we can proceed with this annual meeting. So with that, I'll introduce our Chairman and CEO, Bill Prentice.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And I'll give a very brief summary of our current status. Everybody on this call received a copy of the management report with their proxy materials. So I'm not going to go into that detail. I'm just going to do a brief summary and then introduce a couple of members of the management team to add their comments to what I've said. As you might expect me to say, just as we discussed last year, funding has continued to be the pacing item and the primary impediment to our rapid progress on Davis. But that situation has started to change. We made significant progress over the past year on additional funding, and we have reason to believe that's going to continue to improve for us over the next several months. Part of the reason is that the capital markets are changing in our favor. We've just come out of a couple of years of the energy industry being focused in the capital markets, primarily on green and ESG-type projects and investments. A lot of that has exhibited very poor execution performance and very low profitability. People are beginning to come back towards projects such as ours, which are not only environmentally benign, but will be solidly profitable. We're still seeking the bulk of the $50 million that we had talked about in our last shareholder, but we think we're going to have that in hand fairly quickly. We have a couple of negotiations in progress, and we've taken the additional step of engaging a very high-quality, energy-focused investment banker to help us finish up the $50 million rate, and that's Marathon Capital. They will also assist in the project financing once we get through this next funding stage. As I mentioned, we had significant success over the last year on funding. Most of those proceeds were invested in addition to a little bit of site work, primarily into the engineering effort with McDermott, who is our engineering procurement construction contractor for the refinery, for the Davis refinery. We have completed the crude unit design, process design, and now we have a change order being finalized with McDermott, which will allow us to proceed using the proceeds of this upcoming funding into the detailed mechanical design and equipment procurement for Davis. That procurement cycle is necessary so that we can price out the heavy equipment for the refinery and mitigate the risk of that portion of the capital cost. And that allows us to then convert the current McDermott agreement into a lump sum turnkey performance guaranteed contract that's suitable for the project financing. That is the major precondition to finalizing the full project financing for Davis. The other two strategic issues with over the last several months include a supply or crude oil supply agreement with a major international commodities and banking firm, and also the midstream component of the of our strategy at Davis that's focused upon the crude supply pipeline from the Johnson's Corner collection points up in the Bakken down to the Davis plant. Both of these negotiations are with firms that are very strong in the industry and provide other advantages, including the ability to extend those relationships into our other projects. And primarily we're focused right now on Davis, of course, but next in line would be the Permian project in West Texas and the Cushing project in Oklahoma. Excuse me. On those two projects, we have not made significant progress over the last couple of months because all of the funding effort has been going into Davis. As soon as we clear this next funding hurdle, we will begin investing in the site selection and the permit processing for those two locations. The intent is to be able to get Davis into operation and then have Permian and Cushing follow at approximate 1 year to 18 month intervals after that. All of this has been a long time coming, but being able to correct our capitalization over the next couple of months puts us in a position to accomplish what we set out to do several years ago. And part of that effort, of course, will be to implement a liquidity plan for all of the shareholders of Meridian. With that, I would like to introduce a couple of members of our management team to offer some comments on part of what I've discussed. I'd like to start with Mark Fonda, who is our Chief Technology Officer and has a lot to say about what Davis will accomplish for the industry. Mark?
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, Mark Fonda, Chief Technology Officer. I've been with the company 7 years now, and my responsibility is mainly to help in the selection of the technology that goes into the Davis refinery, making sure that that technology gets carried through the design of the plant and the facility, and then to make sure that the operation off of that design is done properly and within compliance for both environmental and safety. So we've had a little bit of time to reflect back on our original design, and I guess I'm happy to say at this point that we're pretty satisfied that we've made some excellent selections in terms of process technology, environmental technology, and now digital technology. In those areas, of course, the Davis design is for a small, local, customized refinery running local crude, single crude for the life of the project, and we're concentrating more on diesel product than gasoline product. We'll make both, but we're not a high gasoline yield facility. There's a little bit more diesel product. And they're all high quality, low sulfur, meeting all current EPA specs for now and the foreseeable future. So we're very happy with the overall design of the plant, and I think it's withstood the test of time throughout all the marketing, all the market changes, and maybe some industry upgrades. We still feel that the Davis design is state of the art. Also, environmentally, in order to get the synthetic miner source permit, which is still valid, we had to meet some of the most stringent environmental guidelines there are for air emissions and everything else that goes into environmental aspects of a permit. So that still has stood the test of time. The latest area of technology we've been concentrating on is digital technology. It's a fast moving target. You've all heard the terms of digital twin and AI, and we plan on utilizing all of the above. We've been working with some vendors recently to kind of nail down some of the aspects of what that will look like for Davis. And we're probably going to be announcing some partnerships soon on all of that. Don't want to say any names right now, but we're very happy with how that has progressed. And so the digital technology is really the glue that holds everything together, not only ensuring that we have compliance with all the regulations, but also making sure that the plant runs smoothly, efficiently, and is optimized according to all the market changes. So all of that technology is coming together nicely. We feel that we have a template that will work going forward to the other facilities. We've learned a little bit as we've gone from the basic design of Davis, and we think that we're going to be adding on to our intellectual property for the foreseeable future as we build our second and third plants. So very happy with how Davis has turned out after the test of time. That's it.
Thank you, Mark. Next, I'd like to call on Paul Coppola, who's our Chief Investment Officer. Paul, are you on?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I'll touch on really three areas, just the strategic and macro environment, talk about some of our strategic partners, and then elaborate a little more on Bill's comments on capital raise, fundraising, and path forward. I think everything we've discussed in previous annual meetings and really the genesis of why we started Meridian, certainly on the macro level, has really not only kind of played out, but has certainly started to accelerate. And just really to frame this, you know, our original belief has been that there's just big pockets of the U.S. that are underserved, with gaps in coverage for both refining diesel and for gasoline. And you've got a big portion of the asset base on the Gulf Coast that is not only responsible for supplying the United States, but really for the entire Atlantic Basin. So we certainly felt, you know, years ago, you're going to see a real structural change and shift in margins, and the industry would be challenged really to keep pace. And this is exactly really what's happening here. If you look at run rate exports for diesel and gasoline out of the U.S., they're at all-time highs and growing higher. And if you look at the refining margins in the areas that the Davis refiner will operate and also where permanent Cushing assets will operate, you're not only at historically high margins, but you've been able to sustain and maintain those margins really for the last two and a half years, really post-COVID. So what it's telling you is that there's a structural shift that's really happening in this industry that Meridian's able to really capitalize on. And further accelerating that is the useful life of these assets is running short. The maintenance, environmental, and capital requirements to keep them running are more significant. And really, it's our expectation you're going to see a whole other wave of assets get shut down over the next 3 to 5 years, in addition to the two million barrels a day you've already taken out of the market. So what does that mean? You know, with diesel demand trends being strong, with gasoline run rate demand and lack of supply due to refining closures being really stabilized, and I think with the resetting of the EV market and where EVs really fit in, you're looking at a real structural backdrop for a long period of time where hydrocarbons are going to be a big part of the energy value chain for the next 40 to 50 years. In conjunction with that, what we've been able to do is really continue to bring in and work with, you know, best in class partners at every level of our business, whether that's on the EPC side, whether that's with licensing and technology, rail logistics, and now we've really pulled that forward into working with really a high quality set of potential partners on crude supply, where it really sits and focuses our goal of seeing all the barrels in the basin and capturing the widest differential barrels in the basin, given our ability to run the lighter shale barrels that the existing refinery base can't capture. And it's allowed us to start really moving forward on the pipeline decisions around that with other strategic partners. And those are the really final two pieces to move forward. And we'll be able to do that given not only where we're positioned as a company and the capital we've raised so far to develop the project, but also a real recognition of where this environment is moving and kind of moving in our favor. And that really all translates moving forward into kind of the next leg of the capital raise for us and how we're approaching it. And we're really taking it in three pieces. You know, we have one final piece here to raise at the parent level for Meridian, which gets Davis done and starts the track and accelerates the track for the project finance, as well as letting us make some incremental decisions on a Permian and Cushing asset with the benefits of, you know, all our strategic partners having the options to come with us. So we're not de-risking this over and over again. And that's a critical piece of this, because who you partner with really is an indication of who you are as a company. And it's really a reflection of the people of this organization. So we've been able to keep that intact and really grow that. And we're 6-7 months into our crude discussions, and we're moving forward as quickly as we can on the pipeline and logistics side of it. And what that's able us to do is really accelerate discussions with not only high net worth family offices, but as the landscape's really shifted back towards the middle here with a recognition that hydrocarbons are going to be a big part of the value chain here moving forward. We've been fortunate enough to bring in a second bank, given kind of the level of demand and interest in Meridian to help us really navigate that. And that's not just really on a regional level. That's really with the global account base, whether it's pension funds, endowments, sovereign wealth funds, infrastructure funds, or mid-sized PE funds. So our breadth and reach now is probably as deep as ever has been, and we'll probably be as busy as ever over the next 2 to 3 months, engaged with clients and for additional capital. And once we finalize this next leg, we're really in position as a company to accelerate the larger project finance, which we're working through and having discussions on simultaneously with this. I'll pause there, Bill, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Paul. Next, I'd like to introduce Charlie Schwenk, who is our Chief Commercial Officer and heads up all of our legal activities. Charlie?
Charlie, you have to unmute.
Got it. Sorry. I thought you had done it. I'm Charlie Schwenk. I'm the, as Bill said, I handle legal and commercial matters. Bill and I have worked together since, 30 years or more. And on projects, and I do very large energy and infrastructure projects that are developed on a project finance basis. So I came over in August of 19, having served a company as outside general counsel before that. We have been very busy on the commercial side, and funding has had a big effect on that. We've actually had our offtake agreement with Musket, which is I'm very proud of Paul introduced us to Musket, and we have got a fantastic deal where they place all of our major transportation fuels. We actually finalized that agreement a couple of years ago, and then, of course, we've been delayed in being able to make use of it. Similarly, with the pipeline for the crude oil, we've had that deal pretty much detailed out, and simply haven't been able to move forward until the financing. So it's my job, part of it has been to just keep those things alive while we move on with other transactions, including the financing and our relationships with investment banks and the like in that regard. I also, outside counsel, we have local counsel in North Dakota and Texas. Haven't got counsel in Oklahoma yet. Haven't. Right now we're focusing on redoing the crude supply. We actually had it done a couple of years ago with Equinor, which is a Norwegian oil company who I worked with since the early 80s and was very happy to have them involved here. But unfortunately, they decided to pull out of most of the stuff in the Americas. It was a decision that had nothing to do with us or with the Bakken, really. So we have several options to replace them, and we're in negotiations with those now. I look forward to the actual project financing part in the next 6 months or so. That's kind of my meat and potatoes, and I'm really looking forward to it and working with a team that's proven to surprise me with their expertise every step of the way. It's just been a delightful thing to do. It's kind of fun to be in-house with such a bright group of people as opposed to dealing with lawyers like myself on the outside all the time. I think that Bill and Paul pretty much covered the rest of what I would say. So I'll be the uniquely speechless lawyer from this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Question?
No, we can proceed to the actual election.
Okay.
And then we'll take questions at the end. Okay. So, you know, obviously the only real item of business for today's meeting is the election of two board members to serve three-year terms. The company had slated Bill Prentice and Paul Coppola, who have been serving board members. And we, like I said, we started our solicitations shortly after Christmas when we sent out the notice, and we've received over 53%. That's over 9 million shares, or 9 million shares represented by proxies that have been sent to us. And this is one of those unique situations where all the votes were yes for the two slated officers, Bill Prentice and Paul Coppola. I mean, in the past, there's always been maybe a typo where somebody, I could tell they marked the wrong box, it's off to the edge, or they vote for two people and then for whatever reason vote on a third. But this is a situation where we received absolutely no votes. They're all positive votes for the two officers. So Bill Prentice and Paul Coppola are reelected to their board seats. They will serve three-year terms. And that concludes the business that was slated for today.
Okay. We can do questions before we adjourn. There are only two.
Well, yeah, there's two basic questions. Maybe we should answer those or address those, and then we'll adjourn the meeting, and maybe we can informally take some more
questions. Good. Yeah, the two questions that I'm asked all the time are the obvious ones, starting with the schedule. And why has it taken so long, and why we're so confident that things will move more smoothly right now. We started this process back in 2014. It scares me to say that, but there had just been a small refinery permitted in Dickinson, North Dakota. And it took them 3 months to get their permits. So we were looking forward to a fairly expedient permit process and filed for our land use permits in 2015, got those in June of 2016, and then filed for our air quality permits in October of 2016. Again, the anticipated date to get those permits would have put us in early 2017. We did not get the air quality permit until mid-2018. During the process of that permit cycle, what happened is the DAPL pipeline protest began. And what would have been a relatively simple process in North Dakota turned into a very protracted one due to the concerns about anti-energy sentiment at large. The state got very concerned and, you know, it was a, let's just say it was a very protracted process. Again, we got the permit in June of 2018, which puts us almost 4 years into the process. And within a matter of weeks, we saw the first lawsuits emerge from environmental NGOs that we, in our naivete early on in the process, thought would be supporting us because we were in the business of cleaning up an industry that was noted for its tendency to pollute. That didn't happen though. And we had to deal with almost 11,000 comments on our permit, our draft permit from the state. So that litigation proceeded till the end of 2020, just in time for COVID. And that series of events and its impact on the ability to raise capital was a perfect storm as far as delaying the Davis refinery. As I mentioned earlier in my comments, the ability of the company to show what it's accomplished, what it will do for the industry, and the failure of so-called greener types of projects has worked in our favor starting very recently. And so we are fairly comfortable that we're going to probably go back to the schedule, the rate of progress that we had anticipated when we first began what we're doing. Of course, there's going to be further challenge. We've learned to expect that. But again, the pacing item now is capital, and we're looking forward to getting that under control over the next couple of months. I should add that you know, the investors in this company are not the only ones that have suffered from these challenges and delays. The management team at Meridian has faced a series of related challenges as the company has had to deal with shortfalls in funding and so forth. And in fact, the management team at Meridian is, as a class, one of the biggest investors in the company at this point. And there's no lack of enthusiasm within Meridian to taking every opportunity to move the project and the company forward. With that, some dates. You know, right now we're looking at kicking off McDermott into a much, much higher speed as this capital comes in. We hope to finish up the process of converting that agreement into the turnkey agreement suitable for project financing and completing that project financing later this year. During the process of doing the engineering over the next several months, we also intend to identify certain items of equipment or materials that are by definition long lead time items that might further risk our schedule and try to get those on order as quickly as possible. The intent is to reach initial mechanical completion sometime in late 2025 and full commercial operation in first half of 2026. We have to finalize that schedule, though, as we complete the next stage of engineering based upon the procurement process and what information we derive from that. The other question that I'm asked about all the time is liquidity. We've all been shareholders for a long time, and a lot of us thought it would be long past the date where we would have some liquidity in that investment. It was originally kind of the traditional view that a company like this had to achieve positive earnings before it would contemplate either an IPO or a sale of the company. The capital markets have changed somewhat since I came up through the industry and learned that as a set of ground rules. And now it's possible to consider that much earlier in the process. Some of you may recall that we had discussions about a year ago with several firms called SPACs, Special Purpose Acquisition Corporations, that were formed as basically public shelf companies that would go out and acquire private firms in order to take them public. That kind of introduced us to the ideas that there might be other earlier liquidity options. We are continuing to look for a suitable SPAC. That industry saw virtual collapse about 6 or 8 months ago as a lot of these firms came up against their time limits. But it did acquaint us with the needs of the capital markets. And if we do not see anything that we like over the next year or so on a SPAC combination that would give us what we want, we will start taking baby steps towards an IPO that would take place probably about the time that that we're in construction on Davis, or maybe in startup. We have to see what the sentiments are of the capital markets at that point. One of the more likely scenarios, though, is that we get out into the institutional markets for the project financing later this year. That has a tendency to, as they say, put a company like Meridian in play with potential investors that would be interested in actually acquiring the company. And, you know, as you would expect, we will give serious consideration to anything that emerges like that that would be beneficial for the shareholders. The shareholders of Meridian have been very patient, and it's time for us to do everything we can to deliver on our promises, and we're going to do that. One of the reasons that that I really liked the idea of adding Marathon Capital to our list of people helping us here is that they do have a lot of experience in these types of transactions. And I think a close relationship with them will help us as these opportunities emerge. I think that's all I can add about that.
Okay. Well, Bill, there are no more items of business on the agenda.
Hey, Bill, Frank, can I add a couple thoughts here just to provide just some more color here? First of all, just on timeline, I think there's sometimes some confusion to how this all works. You have to have a very methodical and rigid process to build a company like this, and getting the permits just the start of that. It's really hard to have discussions with your strategic partners till obviously A, that's in place, and then B, you've really cleared your legal hurdles and you're able to really move forward. And so when you're looking at the type of partners that we brought into Meridian, they're not just partners for the Davis refinery. You want them to be partners for the process of building a company. And each partner brings competitive advantages that not only makes Meridian better, more efficient, and a lot more profitable, but they bring an area of expertise around us that really enhance our business. And to do that, that requires time, right? So I think as Bill and Charlie and Frank and Mark can attest, those discussions don't happen in a week or a couple of months. They really happen over a much more extended period of time, sometimes measured in years. But if you do it and you get it right, not only are they with you, but it's a real indication of the quality of the company you've built. And it really allows the foundation to move forward, where you can give people some real comfort and a de-risk platform on line of sight and how you're going to grow and build your company. And when it becomes just a function of capital and everything else is in place, that's a much easier discussion to have when it relates to M&A, capital markets, strategically where you're headed. So that's an important point, and that really describes kind of the process we've been through since mid-2020, early 21 through COVID today. And then the second piece of that is, like we talked about, when you look at the strategic landscape, there's multiple things different happening here, right? You have refiners that are going away. We have an asset base that is 50 to 60% cleaner than existing refiners. When you look at the GHG emissions and the platform globally of what you're trying to do in the world, whether it's reducing emissions by 40% in California or 60% in Europe, we really fit in that bucket, not only as a standalone asset, but as a replacement cycle for older assets. So what the market's really figuring out now is this is really what the energy transition is going to look like. It's going to involve hydrocarbons and how to do hydrocarbons cleaner, more efficient, and certainly a step change in profitability. So what that allows you to do now is let the market really develop, because you know where you fit into this cycle now, and it gives you a wide range of options for partners, liquidity, public market access, and capital.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, with no further business,
we can adjourn.
Let's go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see everybody next year.